I encourage you to take your Bibles, please, and let's turn over to Matthew chapter 22. I'm going to pick up with a message that I started a few weeks ago, and the title is The Supreme Treasure. What is the supreme treasure of your heart? And we're focusing on the aspect of God the Father and God the Son. They cannot be separated. They are one. We looked at several passages. We looked at John chapter 5, verses 42 through 43. It says, I know you don't have the love of God in you. And the reason Jesus said this is because I have come in my Father's name and you would not receive me. What a declaration that's there. Don't tell me you love the Father when you won't receive me. You see, the Jewish faith says we love God the Father, but they reject Jesus Christ as the Messiah. The Islamic faith believes in Allah, and they have Jesus listed as one of their imams, but he's not the Son of God. You see, they declare a love for God the Father, but they reject Jesus Christ. That cannot be done. You cannot separate the two. We looked at John chapter 8 and verse 42. If God were your Father, ye would love me. Jesus is making a very strong statement there. If God truly is your Father, then you would love me. But they didn't love Christ. What did they do with him? They crucified him. They rejected him. He said, I came unto my own, and my own received me not. So we looked at that last time, and I'm going to be continuing tonight with these questions here. What is the relationship between them? We've already studied that together, between God the Father and God the Son. They cannot be separated. What is the nature of this love? Where does this love come from? How do you get to be this way? How important is it? We're talking about the supreme treasure, the love of God, the love of Jesus Christ, and my response of love toward Him. Where does this love come from? And as I said last time, we looked at number one, the Father and Christ are inseparable. Tonight we're going to look at love is treasuring Christ above all things. Treasuring Christ above all things. We love our things, don't we? Americans have more things than you can shake a stick at. As a matter of fact, the storage units of America are going up all over the place. Milton now has 8 storage facilities in our little town. King Storage has opened 5 of them in the last 10 years. And they're filling up. And why are they being filled up? Because we have all these things that we might need sometime, right? And we haven't used them in years. They're just things. Oh, I've got to have this. And we go buy these things. And things can easily take the place of love for Christ. Love for Christ. Loving Christ supremely. Let's go to our passage in Matthew 22. I want to read this passage again that we looked at, beginning in verse 36. Master, which is the great commandment in the law? And Jesus said unto him, Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, and with all thy soul, and with all thy mind. In the other Gospels, it adds strength to that list. Verse 38, this is the first and greatest commandment. And the second is like unto it, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. On these two commandments hang all the law, and what else? The prophets. All the Old Testament. All the prophets of the Old Testament, the testimonies that they gave, the books that they wrote by pen of inspiration, are based on two principles: loving God and loving our neighbor as ourself. Let's ask God to help us tonight. Father, I pray that you'd undertake for us as we seek to know your word, and we pray that we might grow in our understanding of what you look for in our lives, in our response to your great love to us, for we ask it in Jesus' precious name. Amen. The second aspect that I want to get into tonight is love is treasuring Christ above all things. Now, what is love? I'm going to take you to 1 Corinthians chapter 16. Go ahead and turn there, because we're going to get to a verse of Scripture that Paul mentions at the end of that first letter to the church at Corinth. It's an eye-opening statement. But I want you to, as we look at that, I want you to keep this in mind. Love is admiring, delighting in, being satisfied by this beautiful gift of God and returning it in word and deed. What is the wonderful gift of God? It is His Son. It's the indescribable gift, the unspeakable gift. It's not a present wrapped up with a bow. It's a person. It's Jesus Christ. Loving comes from somewhere, because we don't love naturally, do we? Now you say, well, I love my children. Now, we looked at this last time just briefly, but the Bible says, if ye love me, keep my commandments. And so people immediately jumped in, as well as myself, I have to say this in the past, oh, we just keep His commandments, and then we're showing that we love Him. But that's not the point. The point is this, that word if there is not a conditional if, it's since we love Him. We keep His commandments. You have to understand that. Since we love Him, we desire to keep His commandments because we're in love with Him. Now, please don't misunderstand this. You love your children. You treasure your children. Do we show our love to our children by obeying them? And the first thing you think, oh, that's different. Is it? Is it? Do you stop loving your children if they don't obey you? Does God stop loving His children if they don't obey Him? No, He doesn't. So there must be more to this, amen, than meets the eye. It's easy to make a quick, simple statement, oh, I just obey and that shows my love for Him. Well, you can have obedience, doing things, and have the wrong attitude. I have to admit, when I looked up on the calendar at our house growing up, there was always TRM throughout the week. Pop, what was that for?
God, Roger, Missy.
Yeah, and it was our job list. Monday night, Todd, I got the Monday night duty. Wash and dry the dishes. And there were other things that I had to do on Monday. We took turns. And I would look up there, and my heart was not filled with the spirit of obedience. I admit it freely. How many of you know what I'm talking about? All right? There were tasks and jobs we had to do. We would have to take the trash out to the burning pit and burn our trash. How many of you grew up burning your trash? All right? Some people did. We didn't have service. It was go to the dump. So in order to do that, all the paper products went out to the burning pit. And there are burning pits that are all probably across our garden from over the years where we burned our trash. And it was our job. Yeah, we actually lit matches as kids. And we didn't burn ourselves. Wow. So those were our chores. And my heart was not overflowing with love for my parents. Oh, no, it's my night again. Didn't I just do that last night? No, that was three nights ago that you did that. TRM. Boy, I loved it when it was R and M nights. I would sit back at the table. I don't have to help you because it's not tea night. Of course, they would get back at me. They would sit there and do the same thing to me. Now, I obeyed. I did my chores. But that didn't necessarily mean that I was demonstrating what other word that I'm talking about. Love. Just keeping the commandments is not good enough, because Israel sought to do that. And did they demonstrate their love to Jehovah? No, they didn't. The whole Pharisee story that's in the New Testament Gospels tells the story of people doing all the things that were written in the law, but they didn't love Jesus Christ. So, since we love Him, we keep His commandments. There's a different emphasis there. Everybody seeing it? Since we love Him, we keep His commandments. It's demonstrated out of love for our Savior. So, the second part there, the nature of this love is counting everything as loss because of the surpassing worth of knowing Christ Jesus, my Lord. Philippians 3 and verse 8. All right? This nature of this love is my love, His love for me stuns me. It literally stuns me. Why should God love me? In my sin, by the way. Why should God love me when I'm disobedient? Why should God love me when I hate Him? But we're told God loves. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son. He is love. I want you to note something here. You got your passage there in 1 Corinthians 16? All right, keep it handy. Love only comes from being loved by Christ. I want you to think about this for just a moment. We don't naturally love God. Something supernatural has to happen in our hearts and lives. There are four types of love that are given to us in the New Testament Greek. In the passage in 1 Corinthians chapter 16, if you're not there, let me join you. 1 Corinthians chapter 16 is interesting. And I'm going to ask you a question here in just a few moments after we read this verse. Notice, please. Make sure I get the right verse here. Verse 14. Let's start reading there. Let all your things be done with charity. All right, love. All right. Now, think about this in this passage of Scripture. We are to love. All right. We are to love, but you know what? It's not the word agape. Agape is God's love toward us. But we are told in this passage of Scripture, it compels, it grips me and does not let go. That's the idea of 2 Corinthians 5 and verse 14, that great passage that's given to us there. It compels me. It gets a hold of me. It grips me, this love of God. But at the end of this book, in Corinthians, 1 Corinthians chapter 16, I want to take you to the end of that chapter. And I want you to see what's said here. Let's begin, let's keep on reading. I beseech you, brethren, ye know the house of Stephanas, that it is the first fruits of Achaia, and that they have addicted themselves to the ministry of the saints. We don't use that word in a positive way, do we? But that's how he describes it. Addicted themselves to the ministry of the saints. What motivated them to be addicted to the ministry of the saints? That ye submit yourselves unto such, and to everyone that helpeth with us and laboreth. I am glad of the coming of Stephanas and Fortunus and Achaicus, for that which was lacking on your part, they have supplied. For they have refreshed my spirit and yours, therefore acknowledge ye them that are such. The churches of Asia salute you. Aquila and Priscilla salute you much in the Lord with the church that is in their house. All the brethren greet you. Greet ye one another with a holy kiss. The salutation of me, Paul, with mine own heart. If any man, now listen to this. This is stunning. If any man love not the Lord Jesus Christ, let him be what? Anathema. Let him have a strong curse upon him. And then he finishes it by saying, Maranatha, please, Lord, come. Now that doesn't seem like a very gracious statement, does it? If any man love not the Lord Jesus Christ, let him be anathema, Maranatha. Interesting. The word love there is not agape. Anybody know what word it is? Phileo. Do you know that we are to have tender affection for Jesus Christ? I'm talking about the emotions. It's not just simply the will just working up love from my will. This is a response word. It's a response word. The Lord has loved us. We should respond to His love with tender affection for Him. And if you don't have that tender affection for Him in response to His love, then you need a strong curse. That's very strong language in the original language. And it shocks us. How could He say such a thing? But what He is implying here is that there should be a response to the love that God has demonstrated for us. And it's not simply your will engaged in loving Him back, though that is true. Right? If you love me, keep my commandments. That's the word agape. Since you love me, agape. But then we're implored here by the Apostle Paul telling the church at Corinth, hey, if you don't love the Lord Jesus Christ, strong curse upon you, anathema. You see, folks, it's not just a matter of the will. It is a response to His love that causes me to have tender affections toward Jesus Christ. It's a response word. It's a love that comes because He loves me. How else can I put it than a child loving their mom and dad? You know, it's an amazing thing. We watch Avery from time to time, and she'll come up and she says, Poppy and Mimi, and she has all that. But whenever she sees her daddy and mama, squealing, running over to them. Now, she doesn't squeal and come running to us. I mean, she enjoys our company, and we enjoy hers. But she loves her mommy and daddy. Your kids love you. I hope so. But what stirs the love of a child toward the parent? It's the love that's demonstrated in the home. And I can tell you stories. I read recently about the two actors, James Garner and Jack Garner. They were two brothers. Jack Garner, the older brother, he became an actor later, but he was a professional golfer. And he taught the pros. He was that good. But both of them spoke disparagingly of their father. They said their father was mean and nasty, never demonstrated ever love, and they wanted so to love their dad. Jack came to James, who was now a famous actor, and said, listen, we've got to do right by dad. We need to reconnect with him. He had moved to Los Angeles, California, the dad had, left the boys to be raised by their family, his dad and mom and aunts and uncles and so forth. But Jack, the older brother, said, we've got to do right by dad. And they went there and they said, we're going to love dad no matter how he treats us. That was an interesting statement. We're going to love dad no matter how he treats us. And you know what happened? The relationship was restored. Both of them were to have a relationship with their dad, who was now in his 70s, lived to be into his 80s. They only had a short window because it was determined we're going to love dad no matter how he treats us. If God were to treat us ill, which He cannot do, would you still love Him? Would you still love Him? Well, I'm only going to serve a God that treats me nicely. But wait a minute. Who created you? Who gave you breath? All right? What did Job do? It seemed like that God was mistreating him. Can you come away with that as you read Job chapter 1? His children are gone. His possessions are gone. His buildings are gone. There's nothing left. And he says, the Lord giveth, and the Lord taketh away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. In other words, I'm still going to love him no matter what happens. He didn't know what was going on. That, folks, is a response to who God is, even when we don't understand Him. I don't understand, I have to tell you, how all those girls died in that flood. To be sitting together and all of a sudden the wall come collapsing in, a wall of water almost 26 feet high over enveloped the house and swept them all away. She said, one minute we were sitting in the group praying, and the next minute they were all gone, and we were all in the water. Now, my finite mind can't put my head around that, but I can never go to God and say, you were unjust. God has His purposes. I don't know what they are. I know that God can use something like this to turn souls unto Himself. Amen. He can use things. Oh, there'll be the naysayers, the haters that will say, how could God let this thing happen to these girls? How could He allow something like that to happen? But there is the response of the child of God that says, I don't understand, but blessed be the name of the Lord. Responding. Love only comes from being loved by Christ. That understanding that He loves me beyond all description. And then finally, why is this even important? Why is this so important? In that passage that I read from in 1 Corinthians 16:22, that word phileo, strong affection for, tender emotional connection with, filial trust, that no matter what happens, God meant it for my good. That's tough. I'm to have tender affection for God whenever I find out from a doctor I have cancer. Or I have tender affection for God whenever I find out that the dearest person in my life is now gone. Claire, who took her husband to the doctor and didn't realize that 4 hours later, he would be gone. Life partner, gone, just like that. We can have filial trust in God because His love for us is overwhelming. I don't have to understand. I simply trust and rest in Him. That, folks, is true love. That's true love. We all took vows in our marriage. We all stood there shaking like a leaf. I hope I can remember these words, you know. How many of you messed up your wedding vows? Anybody want to admit to that? Nobody's going to put their hand up for that. I've been at times whenever we got the words all mixed up, but we figured it out, got it done. In sickness or in health, and we kind of, until it comes. Wow. Until it comes. Peggy this week, husband on the floor, can't get him up. That's hard. She called Beth just weeping about the situation in sickness and in health. That's when it, but she loves him. She loves him. The point, folks, that we are making in all this is super important. God's love is overwhelming. It is indescribable. It's unspeakable. Love produces love in a child's heart. In a child's heart. And a child will trust their parents no matter what. They'll trust their parents because they see demonstrated in their parents love for them. Some kids grow up in some pretty tough homes. They have parents that don't love them like they should, but do you know what? Many times children still love their parents anyway. I have heard tell of children I've had in my office. One boy came to my office years ago, bawling his eyes out. My brother last night offered me drugs. I went to my dad, and my dad did not encourage me not to accept the drugs. He said, I'm overwhelmed. And he put his hands over his eyes, and he was weeping, tears coming down his face. No child should have to deal with that. Because the daddy liked the older brother. They were hunting partners. And here's the younger brother, offered drugs from his older brother, who he trusts. But you know what? This young man, he's saved now. He's married, faithful in church. God's using him in a remarkable way. He still loved his dad. Still loved his dad. Filial trust. In spite of all this. God never mistreats us, though. God never does anything that's not for our good. and for our help. Can we say amen to that? Even when we don't understand? Even when we don't understand, and I'm going to tell you something, but there are times when we just don't understand. But we don't question His love. His love compels us. The love of God constraineth me. It compels me. It grips me in such a way that I respond with affection for. This, folks, is the glorious interchange between the Father and the child through Jesus Christ. It's a glorious thing to be saved. Amen? It's a glorious thing to be saved and to be in this relationship that we'll have for all eternity. Our relationships here will change when we get to heaven. Husbands and wives will not be in marriage anymore because we're married to Christ. That will change. There are many other things that will change that we have known here upon this earth, but it will be totally different. None of us in heaven are saying, I wish I could go back to Milton, Florida. I wish I could go back and see all those friends. No. It's going to be overwhelmed by the great love of God that I'm in His presence because He loved me and gave His Son for me. That is overwhelming, folks. And if you have no love for Christ, something is desperately wrong. If you have no love for Christ, you can profess your love to God, but if there's no love for Christ in your life, something needs to be transformed. Your life needs to be transformed. Would you bow your heads, please? Father in heaven, I thank You for Your precious word. Lord, this is so very important that we understand that our work for Thee is not motivated simply by obeying Your commands. Our love for Thee is a response for Your love for us. And then naturally, because of our great love for You, there is a desire to do what You say in Your word. I pray that You would work in our hearts and lives in a very powerful way. Whenever those questions were asked of Jesus in Matthew 22, and You said the first and greatest is love the Lord thy God with all thy heart and with all thy soul and with all thy mind. That's the first commandment. And then the second one is love your neighbor as yourself. The question is about love. God didn't share one commandment with those people that asked. He didn't say, if you keep all the commandments, that's the greatest. No, He said, love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your strength, and with all your might. And we can love You, Father, because as believers in Christ, we've been changed and transformed. I pray that You do a work in our hearts, not to simply go through the motions, but that there might be a deep and abiding love in response to Your love to us. And we give You the praise and glory for what You teach us from Your word tonight, for we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.